We were holding on to Tabit K on the bass, because I gave up on you yesterday. And let's take a look at the Bryces again. Actually, we were in the middle of it. Tanya. This is right in the middle of those big lines. It's one line up from the middle of the big line. Tabit K on the bass. Tanya. If it says in the pasuk that his owner being with him means that he doesn't have to pay, isn't it obvious that if his owner is not with him, he doesn't have to pay? Elamasa mutlomar ba'alav eini imo. What then was the point of repeating that if the ba'alim is not with him, shalem yishalem? Lomar lecha to teach me that haya imo b'sha'at she'ela ein tzarich liyot imo b'sha'at shvura ameita. That if the ba'alim were there at the time that it was borrowed, that even though he's not with him at the time that the accident occurs, he's still potter. On the other hand, haya imo b'sha'at shvura ameita, if the ba'alim was in his employ at the time that the accident occurred, that will not potter. And tzarich liyot imo b'sha'at she'ela. You would have to be with him at the time that he was borrowing. So that's b'raita number one. Now, the other way that the b'raita refers to this, and these are not really, as Rashi points out, these are not really contradictory b'raitas. They're just approaching the same drosha from a different point of view. The Tanya Idach, the way the other b'raita puts it is, mimashmash in emar ba'alav ein imo, it starts from the other end. If the Torah had said that the owner not being with him means shalem yishalem, doesn't that make it clear, she'im ba'alav imo lo yishalem? Elamata malomar im ba'alav imo, why then does it say the owner being with him means he doesn't pay? Lomar lacha kivan shiyatza mirshut mash'il sha'ar achat ba'alim u'meitafot. It's to teach me that ba'alav imo, under any circumstances, even just at the time of the actual act of borrowing, even though not at the time of the accident, then nonetheless, that's enough to profit. In any event, tiyufta the Rav Amnuna tiyufta. We now have shown that Rav Amnuna is wrong. This much we did yesterday. I just needed to review with you the braisa. So we show that Rav Amnuna is wrong in both of his assumptions, namely, that the ba'alim can be working on some other, has to be working on the same project. Here it says the ba'alim can be working on any project, as long as he's in the employ of the borrower. And secondly, it says here clearly that the ba'alim does not have to be in his employ at the time of the accident. It's enough if he was in his employ at the time of the borrowing. You look like you want to tear off that Vermont ski jacket. Yeah, I don't know. It looks like it's burdening you and you're getting overheated. And yeah. Maybe we can be mashpia on your neighbor over here also to loosen up a bit. You know, take off some of that heat. And then, yeah, all right. Okay, good, good. Yeah. All right, skip. All right, so now we begin our journey into understanding these two brises. I just reviewed them for you, okay? And the truth is that each one needs to be approached from a different point of view. Now, Abaye personally held of Rabbi Yoshi's approach, and therefore he explains these sukkim according to the approach of Rabbi Yoshi. Rava, who holds like Rabbi Yonatan, explains these sukkim and leaves it to Rabbi Yonatan. And each one of them ends up at the same conclusion. It's a question of how we look at it. Now, you remember the machlokas of Rabbi Yoshi and Rabbi Yonatan is whether when the Torah says and, does it mean and or? That's the question. So over here, in a series, we have the question and slash or.
And or.
Yeah. So now, if you hold, we had this machlokas before, if you hold of Rabbi Yoshi, then this is the way. Rabbi Yoshi says, if you don't have a word to tell me that it's separate, then you have to assume that it's meant as end, and that it's all run on in one thing, okay? Therefore, says Rabbi, here's the way to understand the psukim according to Rabbi Yoshi. Ba'alav ein imo, shalem yishalem. Now, let's say that we only have what it says in the Torah. The owner is not with him, so then, shalem yishalem. Okay, now what does that mean? That means that Ein Imo, time of the lesser, the Tarvaita. Because remember, according to Rabbi Yoshi, unless we know otherwise, we view everything that is said with above as being all one story. So over here it says, Yish'al, V'nishbar, O Nishbar. V'meit O Nishbar, right? So that means that there's one story here. An animal was borrowed, and then it died. Or it broke a leg. Whatever. But forget about that. That doesn't matter. What we're talking about is the vav that includes the case of the borrowing with the dying, with the accident. We don't care what the accident was. Right? So now that would mean that in that series of events, the Torah then is saying that Baalav Ein Imo, meaning the Baalim was not with him in that series of events. But had the Baalim been with him in either of those events, not in the series, but in either or, had he been in one and not in the other, then he would have been potter. Now the problem is that we have a contradiction to that, because the Haksiv, on the other hand, it does it not say. Now the V'hoksiv is a little bit strange. You should say V'hoksiv. On the other hand, it says, Im ba'alav imo lo yishalem. Now again, what does Im ba'alav imo lo yishalem mean according to Rabbi Yoshia, who assumes that a vav connects everything into one story? It's saying that if the Baalim is with him in both of the above, lo yishalem, mashma taima de'isa b'tarvayim. Only if the Baalim is with him in both of the above, then we would say lo yishalem, meaning that that if he were in one and not in the other, you would be chayav. So we have a contradiction now, right? The first part implied that the Baalim has to be with him in both in order to be potter. And the second part tells me exactly the opposite, in neither. So, I mean, how can you contradict yourself? Therefore, the only explanation is that in one direction it's in both, but in the other direction it's in either. In other words, if we take a look at it from the point of view of the accident, then the owner would have had to have been with him from the time of Sheila through the accident. But if we take a look at it from the point of view of the time of She'ela, it's enough if the Baalim is with him at the time of She'ela. Right?
Okay.
So if we look at it at what happens at the accident, then it's insufficient for Baalav Imo to be at the time of the accident, because it says a vav. It has to be with it from the time of the She'ela till the time of the accident. But that's only if the Baalim was there at the time of the accident. If we look at it now from the time of the She'ela, then it's sufficient if the Baalim was with him in one of them, meaning at the time of the She'ela, then he would be potter, even though he wasn't with him at the time of the Shvura Umesa. Now, obviously, we could have said the opposite, because there's nothing that implies in the puzzle one way or the other. Later, the Gemara is going to ask, how do you know to say that it's the first and not the second? How do you know that it's to say, if he's there at the end, it doesn't mean anything, you need it to be there from the beginning? Maybe look at it from the other way. If he's there at the beginning, it doesn't mean anything, you need to be there at the end. Okay, we'll ask that later. But certainly from the contradiction we can conclude that the statement is correct both ways, depending where you look at it. You need to have Baalav Imo from beginning to end, if you're at the end, and it's sufficient if Baalav is Imo now, if you're at the beginning. Okay? Otherwise, we end up with a contradiction. This is brought out Aliva the Sheet of Rabbi Yoshia. It doesn't really matter, because we can bring out the same contradiction Aliva the Sheet of Rabbi Yonatan. We just have to say it differently. And that explains the two Lashonas over here. Now Rava, on the other hand, let's just see the conclusion again. Lomar lacha, let's see those last two lines. This teaches me, Haya imo b'sha'at she'ela, that if the Baalim was with him at the time that it was borrowed, eino tzirich liot imo b'sha'at shvura u'meita, he doesn't have to be there at the time of the accident. Haya imo b'sha'at shvura u'meita, on the other hand, if he was there at the end at the time of the accident, that doesn't help. He would still need to have been there tzirich liot imo b'sha'at she'ela. Fine. Rava, who has a personal inclination to the shita of Rabbi Yonatan, the Rava Savalak Rabbi Yonatan, Mitzpahit the cry of Rabbi Yonatan, and he reads this now the way Rabbi Yonatan would have read it. Because Rabbi Yonatan, remember, holds that and means or, right? Okay, so therefore he understands that im ba'alav imo, forget about this, the Tanya, because it's not a separate bright, that's a mistake, as Rashi points out. Someone who was transcribing the Gemara obviously thought that we have two different brises that are contradictory, and each one is explaining one of those brises, I'll leave the other shita. Which is not the case here at all. You can explain it either way, both in the straight order and the opposite order, whether you're the Rav Yosher, whether you're the Rav Yonatan. It's just a question of how you like to explain it, whether you're the Rav Yosher or the Rav Yonatan. Either way, you end up with the same exact contradiction. So to ask the Tanya as if it's a contradictory brisa is a mistake. Therefore, I just leave out all of these Tanyas. They're not other brises. They're simply the same thing in the inverse, because whether you start at the beginning of the pasuk, you start at the end of the pasuk. Either way, you end up with a contradiction. So if you like to explain it like Rav Yonatan, here's how to say it. In Baalav Imo lo yishalem. And here it says, if the Baalim is with him, you don't have to pay. Now, being as I hold it with Yonatan, what does that mean? It means either Marshman either to Bitterbayu, or Marshman Amid either Bakhadabakhada Pata. Either if the Baalim is with you in both, which would mean and, or if the Baalim is with you in either, which would mean or, because I hold like with Yonatan. So if the Baalim is with you Bishat Umate on his bar, the Baalim is with you Kiyish al, put. The Baalim is with you, Kiyish al, and Nishbar Omeza, put. Fine. Then you go ahead and you say, Baalav Enimo, Shalem Yishalem. If the owner is not with you, then you have to pay. Again, not with you in both, or not with you in either. That's a contradiction. The Mashma Dechi is the Bechot of Elisha Bechot of Chayim. Here's telling you that if he's not with you in one, but he is with you in the other one, you'd still be chayav. Can you explain that? Just another way of saying the same contradiction. All it requires is engagement. It's absolutely uncomplicated. If it were the tiller, or if it was the global positioning system, yeah, there, you'd be there. Here we go, skipper. So what does this teach me? The same thing. The conclusion is the same. It obviously teaches me that in one direction you would have needed to have it both ways, and in the other direction you can have it one way. Lomar lecha hayayim obishat sheila im tzarich liot im obishat shvurah v'meita, that if the Baalim was with you at the time that you borrowed it, then he doesn't have to be with you at the time of the accident. On the other hand, if he was with you at the time of the accident, then he doesn't help, and he would need to be with you bishat sheila. Now, both of these conclusions, whether you went said it aliba, the Rabbi Yosher like Abaye, you said it aliba of Yonatan like Rava, still took one thing for granted, and that is that we said in which direction to go. Right? In other words, we said if he was with you bishat sheila alone, that's enough. But if he was with you bishat the accident, you need bishat sheila. Now, how do you know to look at it that way? The April coming on, maybe we should look at it the other way. If he was with you at the time of the accident, that's enough. But if he was with you at the time of sheila, he needs to be with you at the time of the accident. I mean, how do you know to look at it this way? Well, I mean, if it's one way or the other, it's mitzvah the sheila adifa. You shouldn't become isolated or reshute. I mean, isn't it reasonable to say that it's the she'ela that is definitive? Because after all, the act of she'ela is what brings it into your reshute, so that should be the definition of the chiyuvin that you're going to have, isn't it? Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, in the accident is definitive, because the accident is the thing that actually makes you chayav. I mean, why not look at that? So shvuro neisa divish gen chayav on tzeah. That's the time that you needed to be chayav to pay. Well, the lav she'ela shvuro neisa mayavi. I mean, what's the meaning of an accident except in the context of the borrowing? Yeah, great. But if it wasn't for the accident, what would be the meaning of the borrowing? I mean, this is getting us nowhere. So you love shvur amazes she'ela mayavid. I mean, so again, it looks to me like a toss up. Ah, yes, you see. But afilu achi she'ela adifa. She can chayav b'mizonoteha. The she'ela nonetheless makes an absolute change in your financial position. Because by borrowing, you now not only become responsible for the possibility of an accident, you become responsible right now for maintenance. It's going to cost you right now to feed, to fuel, whatever it is, right? Okay, so then you're right. The accident is potentiality, but nonetheless, don't tell me that the she'ela is mere discussion of possibility. It's right now, it makes you open up your wallet today. So tomorrow after the accident, it'll make you open up your wallet again. But the point is, it's already had an impact on you. You're paying now because of the she'ela. If that's the case, the she'ela should be more definitive because it's an absolute, no matter if there's an accident or not an accident. You can't ask me, what's the point of talking about she'ela without an accident? What do you mean, what's the point? Who's going to be paying for the gas next time? That's the issue.
Because if the bottle is with the borrower at the time, it could be busted. Well, it actually seems much more likely because the bottle is the one who now has some responsibility.
You are looking at this as a moral issue.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a mistake. The entire element of Mishpatim does not discuss morality. What it discusses is the nature of ownership. That's all. And therefore, and even the elements of Shmira and responsibility and so on that are discussed in Mishpatim, if you look carefully at the parasha, you'll see the only issue is to define the nature of ownership. Now, the element of She'ela in Mishpatim goes hand in hand, believe it or not, with rape. Right? Now, it says over there, if you rape a woman, or if you rape a child, it's talking about over there, yeah, so you have to marry her, right? That's the case of the Nara. What in the world does that have to do with She'ela? So there's a general definition in Mishpatim, which is, when you act like an owner, you are an owner. That's the point. So you want to act like a husband, which means baal again, right? Baal is a sexual word, which Tosis points out over here is again the whole meaning of the sugya. We'll talk about it in a moment. But the notion of baalut is to be in place of the she'ela, to be in place of the owner. You are now acting as if you are the owner. Because you're using it as if it's entirely yours, you're taking care of it as if it's entirely yours, and therefore, if it gets hit by lightning, well, so what are you going to complain about? What's my fault? That's not the issue. We don't make you responsible for the lightning. All we're saying is, if you're the owner, you take the losses. It's as simple as that. When you borrow it together with the owner, you haven't taken the place of the owner. The owner is involved with you. That's the issue. You're looking at it from the moral point of view. Well, if the owner was around at the time of the accident, let the owner take care of it. Why can't the owner take care of it? That's not the issue here. And therefore, as Tosis points out, really, this whole question is a question of a chidush. It's not to be viewed in moral terms at all for us to be able to ask these types of questions, right? And we wouldn't say that something is a svara. We'll see later on. I'll talk to you about that tosis when we get to it in the Gemara. We say, oh, yeah, this is a chiddush. It ain't like a elabishat chiddusho. It's only where the Torah was machadish that this consists of the nature of substitute baalut that we view it that way. Okay. Now, there's a much more beautiful way of looking at this, and this is Rav Ashi's pshat. Rav Ashi goes straight to the core of the pasuk and shows you that the meaning of the pasuk is essentially to tell us that it's a function of the borrowing. Says Rav Ashi, look, it says in the pasuk, "V'yichishal ish me'in re'ehu," when a man borrows something from within his friend. What do you mean, from within his friend? What do you mean, le'im re'eyu? The point is that it's telling me you need to take it away from that friend rather than taking the friend along with it. That's what it's saying. So it's me'im re'eyu v'lo re'eyu imo. Beautiful. So they'll say, if that's the case, okay, then shalei yishalei, ha re'eyu imo fatur. If that's the case, why do I need this whole discussion, ba'alav enimo, ba'alav imo? I mean, what? Then just say those words. So yoki, ba'alav enimo, or im ba'alav imo, lomali. What would be the meaning of those words? Ilav hanaf, because it's not spelling it out for us. So how do I mean it work at a krohu? I don't have enough of a solid drasha here in saying that this is not normal language. Because remember, the Torah teaches us how to speak. Maybe it simply explains the nature of She'ela, that it's always taking something from within someone else. But once the Torah has pointed out that there's a contradiction here in Baal Avimo, is he in both things or is he in one thing, now I'm already put on notice that the nature of the Baalim being with them is definitive of the She'ela. Okay, if that's the case, look back to what the Pasuk is saying. What is the Pasuk telling us? Baal Avimo. That means kishal meim re'eu, v'lo re'eu imo. So what defines it? Kishal, not the nishbaro meita. Boy, Rami Bar Koma. Now Rami Bar Koma asks questions which are based on the idea, as Tosis explains, that this essentially is a chiddush hakrah. This idea of taking the place of the balim instead of simply elements of agreement as to what my level of responsibility is. is something that cannot be defined just by the nature of the act. It has to be defined by the way in which it's expressed in the pasuk itself. Therefore, Rami Bar Chama wants to know, suppose you borrow an animal to have sex with it. What's the din? You'll say, what's the difference what you're borrowing the animal for? Ah, because the question is, Shalal Rav Amar, Kidishayle Inche Be'inan, Pulachilo Shayle Inche. Do we say that the Torah refers to normative behavior? Normally, we don't have people borrowing animals for sex. And if he's doing so, he's certainly not defining that as the nature of the borrowing, right? So that means that what we have over here is a non-normative she'ela. And since we're dealing here with a chiddush hakorah, ein lecha ela sha'at chiddusho. The Torah is defining the normal relationship in terms of an agricultural borrowing, or in terms of the use of its main purpose for borrowing, and not for something that you are going to use it for that's not considered to be the normal usage of the animal. Or maybe the issue is you're borrowing something to use it for your benefit. You're getting use out of it. You're getting benefit out of it. What do I care what it's for? Now the next step that I'd want to know is, how about Shala Lera Otba? Now, suppose you borrow the guy's car not in order to drive, but in order that the people at the meeting should think that you own the Jaguar, right? And your only purpose is that it should reflect on your status. Now, over there, you could say, I'm not even really being nana in any type of way that uses the thing. So that's the question. Mao. Mamona v'inan v'ayi. Because the issue over here is just a question of a monetary transaction, and I certainly have that. Or do I need to have something where the thing that I'm borrowing, its usage is what gives me the benefit, which over here I don't have. Maybe that's not included in the whole relationship of the shale. I don't intend to use it. I'm not using it. It reflects on me. Maybe that's not called shale. How about shalala sota pachot mipruta? Do we have over here somebody borrows something to use, but to use for less than a shava pruta worth of use? What would be the thing over there? Do we say mamona beina, what we need is a financial transaction, which we do have because it's worth more? Or do we say since the use is less than a pruta, there's no transaction? Because the transaction is on less than the value of a pruta, which is the minimal financial definition. How about Sha'al State Parot, La Sota and Bapruta? Let's say you do need a minimum of a pruta. Is it a minimum of a pruta in the transaction, or is it a minimum of a pruta in the borrowing? The difference would be if I borrow two parot, and I'm going to use them together to do one pruta worth of work. So mi amina zil batar sholo mashio. Do we say, okay, the point over here is the transaction together. We have between us just made a transaction on a pruta worth of work. Or do we say, but the issue over here is not the transaction. The issue over here is the item in which now I become the owner of. The item itself is called a leka mamona. There's no financial transaction in either of these. You can see all of these are very, very definitive questions in how to view the entire issue of she'ela, even though obviously in order to create a laboratory situation where we can slice the specific issue, we have to think of some very weird cases, but it's always like that when you're trying to isolate one factor of many. So we have over here, each one now is bringing out a different factor. How about if you borrow a para from two owners, and now you employ one of those owners? Is that the din of Baal Avimo or not? Do we say that Baalav? Because you don't have Baalav. Again, here's what us is really bothered by the question. I mean, normally we say, what kind of question is this? We say over there, if you have a case where you steal, well, we say Chamisha Bakar, we say, you pay back Chamisha Chatzai Bakar. If you're mowed at the one of the Shutfim and not to the other Shutfim, right? You pay back five half bakars. What's the difference between this and that? It's because, again, over here, we're not made to look at it as a moral issue. This is a chiddush. And that's the question. Was the Torah machadish the din of Baal Avimo if it's only half of the Baalut HaTimo? So kulo balav bina aleka. Do we say that it's balav? I mean, you need the owner. You don't have that. Do we say, but I mean, in terms of the half of the transaction that was his half, we should be potter on, because on that half, balav imo. How about the other way? How about if shutafim go and borrow? So shutafim shishalo v'nish alechad mehen. And now the single owner is hired by one of the borrowers. The same case in the inverse. Mahu, do we need the shoel be'inan ki yashil? And now ki yish'a'o ba'alav imo, but we only have a half of ki yish'a'o because two people over here borrow. So maybe we need the entire shoel that you don't have. Oh, yom ba'hi pa'agat ha'shayel olay mi'as mi'asir. Do we say, but at least the half that is responsibility of that shoel, it should be considered to be p'tur. Again, this completely redefines our relationship and as a borrower to the item that was borrowed in terms of transaction or in terms of specific responsibility. Sha'al mi ha'isha. Let's say that you borrow something from a woman. V'nish'al ba'ala lo. And now the husband is borrowed or employed together with the she'elah from the wife. Now the she'elah from the wife, remember what we're talking about over here is nechsei melug, to which the woman may own, technically, but which the Baalim has reshut over in terms of making profit from it. In which case, when he's borrowing it, he's actually borrowing it maybe from the wife, technically, but, I mean, ostensibly, but technically he's borrowing it from the husband, because the husband is the one that would have to really agree to, because this is like one of the profits that you get from it. So do we say kinyan peroki kinyan, or vice versa? Sorry, I skipped one. Where Isha Shishala, a woman now, who borrows a para to work on Nechsei Melug, Minish Alebal, Mahu. And now the one that is borrowed from, is now employed by the husband of the woman who borrowed, and that husband, again, is the technical boss of Nechsei Melug. So what's the din? Do we say Kinyan Peroti Kinyan Aguf, Dami? Oh, look. Does the ownership of the profits, which is what the Baal owns over here, is that the equivalent of real ownership, in which case it's the same person now that's borrowing that was being employed, or do we say that no, he's not viewed as a real owner, it's just a right to future income? What about if somebody appoints an agent to say, lend out my para and be employed on its behalf too, for me, as a favor? But this guy is a very altruistic sort of fellow, and I'm sorry, but I'm unable to go around today and help the world, and so I'd like you to take my place. Why don't you go? Here's my para. Lend it out to people who need it and give them a hand while you lend it to them. So what's the din over there? Do we need balav mamash v'lecha? Oh dear, mashlucho shel adam kamoto v'yiko. Do we say ding as you're his shliach? So it's as if he lent himself out together with the para. I'll tell you what my opinion is about some of this. The question of whether a Baal is considered to be the real owner, that's the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish. And the question of whether a shliach fulfills the requirements over here of balav imo, that is a machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish. Rabbi Yonathan and Rabbi Yosha. When I say that the Baal is of Machlok is Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish, what do I mean? The Yitzmah. Hamocher Sadeh L'Chavero L'Peirot. Somebody who sells now his field to a friend, but doesn't really sell the ownership of the field, he sells the rights to the crops of the field. Now the question is, when the guy takes now, he harvests his first crop, does he bring them to the Beis HaMikdash and say, thank the Lord for giving me a field, or, and these are my first crops, or can he not do that because the Lord never gave him a field since he bought only the rights to the crops and not the field? Now this is exactly the issue that we're wondering about. Is the ownership of the income, the profit, the payroll, is it the equivalent of giving you an ownership in the field? It's the same question. What is, because that's the relationship that the Baal has with Nechsei Yisho. He's in a position of owning the profits, but not the actual land. So Rabbi Yochanan says, maybe the Korei. He brings the Kurim and he says, Adam Asher Natatali. Where is the Adam Asher Natatali? It must be this field. This is all I've got. And nonetheless, he's considered to be as if he owns the land. Reish Lakish Omer, maybe they know Korei. He cannot say the word Asher Natatali because he doesn't have any Asher Natatali. So where's the pre-Hadamah Asher Natatali? Reb Yochanan Amar may be the Korei. Why? Because Kinyan Perot ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. Reb Shlokesh Amar may be they know Korei Kinyan Perot last ki Kinyan Aguf Dami. Owning the Perot is not the equivalent of owning the ground that it gives forth those Perot.
Even a dead comes a
No, that's because the whole parsha is talking about Lavotain. But over here, the question is, here he's not in that matter. He certainly has a right. Okay, this is the way that his right was expressed. All right, this is a very important insight that you're asking in the parsha Bikurim, but it's not really our study here at all.
We are talking about ownership.
Yeah.
Somebody loves the cow, and there's an agent. To bring to the one who one owns it. The time when the agent is with him, he has the ownership, right? Because the cow has...
What type of agent are we talking about?
Somebody sent to the guy to pick up a cow.
So that.
Yeah, so who's responsible? It depends. What, define the agency here. He becomes a shomer chinamah, is that what you're saying?
He has to bring it over from
is he responsible for anything?
That's what I'm asking.
That's what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why you're asking it, but it happens to be that Tosfos brings a raya from within our sugya that you are responsible for it. Yeah. And the other question of a shliach is a machlokas Rabbi Yonas and Rabbi Yosha, the Tanya. Ha'omer la'apotrophos. Somebody who says now to an apotrophos. What's an apotrophos again? In English? A trustee, yeah. So he says to the apotrophos, kol nidarim shetei ishti noderet mikan shavo mimakom ploni haperla. Any vow that my wife takes, I'm leaving town, but if you hear that she takes on any oaths on herself, cancel them for me, will you please? Including curse my damn husband. And he goes and he's mefer. Yoko yumu farim, you might think that is a good... You might think that that's a good hafara. If you want to remain alive, you got to act alive. Come on, man. Take off 20 years. Let's go. Yoko yumu farim, you might think that that's a good act of afara. Talmud lomer isha yekemena. Her husband shall be the one to be mekayim in the nether. The isha yeferena. Divrei Rabbi Yosha. It's her husband and only her husband. Rabbi Yonatan says, well, matina b'chol makam, sheshulcho shel adam kamoto. Why her husband specifically as her husband? Now, Tosfos says, it seems outrageous over here, to compare the din of Nedarim, where the whole point is that Rabbi Yosha is saying there's something unique about the relationship of a husband to a woman, obviously, that implies that a shliach is not kamoto. What are you going to say? Sleep with my wife or me? Obviously, you can't have a shliach to be a husband. So the relationship of husbandry implies no shliach. So what does that have to do with Nedarim? I mean, with the question of Sheila that we're talking about over here.
So why can you use a shliach
to send a guest? It doesn't say you show up in that case. It's something, you're something unique. We're saying it's the relationship of husbandry that makes you capable of hafara. There's some drasha that Rabbi Yosha must have about that word. So how do we compare it to the din of she'ela? And here is a beautiful Tosfos who explains that the concept of ba'alut is always sexual. Because ba'al means to sleep with. So we're calling, and the truth is, of course, you take a look back in Gan Eden, the nature of all relationship is a sexual relationship. So I'm going to give the name to an animal. It's because, as the Gemara says, you have to sleep with that animal first in order to give it its name. Mm-hmm. In other words, to know something, we talk about to know, is really carnal knowledge. It's just sublimated. So any type of ba'alut, the word ba'alut, since the Torah keeps insisting over here throughout Mishpatim, ba'alav imo, that element is the same as saying isha yikemena. There's some mashma'ut of the ba'alut to the ishut tosfos, which explains another thing. That explains why Mishpatim never discusses the value of things. It only discusses the item, you see. Everybody laughs at the fact that it talks about oxes hitting each other. Why did I just talk about it? Who's responsible? Because ownership as an abstraction does not exist in Hebrew. It's only husbandry in the broadest sense of an English term. Baalut can also mean husbandry. Right? So your husbandry in terms of caring for the earth. A husband of the earth. But it also needs to be a husband of. Or we still use it to husband your resources. Right? So that means to be the carer as a husband. So, which explains also why you can't take rebate. Or why when you own, you can own things, but you can't own the value except through particular halakhas that allow you to have analogs of value. It explains many, many issues in terms of payments and so on for damages. You know, why there would be a difference between stealing a shahr, between stealing a seh, or stealing a chamor. I mean, it's all crazy. But not if you recognize that the concepts of payment are only analogs to real damages done or to real responsibility. I can never replace your favorite pet, true or not true. So, okay, so when I'm going to pay you for the loss of your cat, I'm paying you a couple of dollars, but that doesn't cover your loss. Your loss is a personal loss. So it's always an analog that I'm giving you to your loss, you see? Nonetheless, you can't sue me for the specific anguish that you have in terms of your pet, because that's something that's not objectively defined. Okay, so there's two different elements over here, and that relates to the entire parsha. What about if you tell your servant to go and to go ahead, do favors, lend out the parah, here's the parah, and you do work with it while it's lent out? And this I would ask, no matter what we hold about Shluch HaShalom tomorrow. You can ask this, even if you hold the shita that we just had, that a shliach would not be able to fulfill the requirement of Baal Avimo, and you can ask this according to the Man D'Yarmar, that a shliach can, in fact, fulfill the requirements of Baal Avimo. Because I would ask it like this, Kiboy l'man d'yarmar shlucha shalom kamoto, ani nila shliach the bar mitzvah, I will eved alav bar mitzvah lo. Maybe the din of shlucha shalom kamoto does not apply to an eved who is not yet responsible in these mitzvot because he doesn't own anything, can't own anything. And I can ask it up here, l'man d'yarmar ein shlucha shalom kamoto, ani nila shliach. Maybe it's only a shliach who is not kamoto, but an eved is an extension of the owner. So yad eved, yad adonai. Yad Rabodan. What would you say then? I would say just logically that Yad Evet Yad Rabodan. This has nothing to do with Shlichut, and that you extend the Adon by extending the hand of the Evet. Yes, of course. Boy, Rami Bar Choma. Rami Bar Choma has another question. A Baal who is in charge, therefore, by definition, of Nichsei Ishto. What is his status? Is he a borrower of his wife's property, or is he a renter of his wife's property? Which we assume the question is he chayev now in the onasim that occur to animals that the woman brought into the marriage, because he's like a shoel, or is he responsible only for gneva v'aveda, like a socher? That's good. I'm really impressed. You did it. You just took off 20 years like that. That's it. Somebody just keep reminding you. Otherwise, you might get old. All right, I'll keep working at it. Oh, my Rava. So Rava heard this. Come on, man. You do. Lefum churpa shabishta. Look at this. The smarter they are, the dumber they get. He's so bright that he outwitted himself with this question. And the question is a totally stupid question. He's making so many diyukim that he forgot the essential part over here. But what kind of craziness is this? Whether the Baal is a shoel or whether the Baal is a socher wouldn't make a slave for the difference. Because by definition, he's also hired the woman who owns it. Right? So it's always she'elah b'baalin, or if it's a socher, it's she'elah b'baalin. So what's the difference? So he forgot the broader picture and looking at the trees over here for all of his brilliance. No. You see, that's not what Rami Bar Choma was asking, though. I mean, what Rami Bar Choma was asking, they keep coming by there, Rami Bar Choma. The Agar Minapara Vadanazda, the case was over here, the Baal rented a pora from a woman and then went and married her. That was his question. It's always the romantic way to start a relationship, you know. So, we'll talk about that. Shoel Havi. also Kerabi. What's the difference? If he's a Shoel, so then the She'ela Beba'alim Makat Chirut Shelo Beba'alim. When he now takes over the Nichse Malug of the woman, so it turns out that he's changing the relationship which was originally defined as a rental, and he's now becoming a Shoel. But that relationship of Shoel now being a new relationship becomes She'ela Beba'alim, canceling the previous Chirut Shelo Beba'alim and therefore canceling his responsibility, because now his wife is employed by him in a new relationship of She'ela, because the previous relationship Chirut is now canceled by the redefined She'ela. You see, the marriage redefined their relationship about this para. He's no longer paying rent on it, he's borrowing. On the other hand, if you say that a husband is always viewed as the renter of his wife's property, and why would we view it this way? Well, because the truth is that there is an exchange for this. You see, he takes on responsibilities for her in exchange for this same look. He has to give her insurance and so on, insurance against kidnapping, things like that. So his providing that insurance policy is payment, we could look at, for the rights to the same alone. So now, if it's chirut, then we haven't changed the essential nature of the relationship, have we? Because it originally started off as chirut, when he rented the para. So now he's continuing to rent the para. So nothing changed. The fact that now he's married is the same thing as having a rental agreement in which now you employ, after making the rental agreement, you employ the owner. But employing the owner after the rental agreement, that doesn't change anything because it needed to be there at the time of the rental. So that's why it's important for Rabbi Bar Chava to define, is this a change in the relationship from Tzirut to She'ela, or is it a continuation of the original Tzirut, and therefore it will still retain responsibility that he had originally as a Socher? I'm smarter than you thought. Says Rav Noyan, not because what's the difference whether you're a Shoel or a Socher? If you're a Shoel, fine. You're telling me if you're a Shoel, you change the agreement. But if you're now entering a new type of Tzirut, you're changing the agreement too. Now it's a new Tzirut, and this time it's with the owner. So, I mean, why is it just because it's Tzirut, it has to be a continuation of the original contract? I walked into my rental car agency and I switched the deal, basically, is what I did over here. So he went ahead now and he switched the deal by marrying her. Rather dramatic way of getting a new deal on a car, but, you know, people do it for less. That's right. So therefore, it says Rava Maishna, what's the difference? If you're a Shoel, you're telling me that Dazi She'ela Beba'alim, that now the new relationship of borrowing with the owner is Mapkat Chirut Shelo Beba'alim, and cancels the previous relationship of rental without an owner. So he's so Kanami, Avi, even if you're a Socher, why don't we say the new Chirut? Take a Chirut Beba'alim, let the new relationship of Chirut now, which is being made together with employment of the owner as a wife, take a Chirut Shelo Beba'alim, let that cancel now the previous relationship of a Chirut in which this woman was not employed by me as my wife. So that also doesn't make any sense. Ah, no, Rami Bar Chama is still a step ahead. To Kami Boyle, Rami Bar Chama, see what Rami Bar Chama was asking was, but I was right, you were just on the edge. I know. So you gotta tie those little safety lines onto the skipper too. And they've been going a long time with these tankers, you never know what happens up there. So a kikami baila rami bar chama could go into Agra ihi para miyal. It happens like this. She rented a para. Then she goes ahead and she gets married. Now, when she gets married, he gets a right to use that para as long as the rental was for. So she rented a para for a year, he now gets the right to use that para as part of the Nechse Maluk.
Even though she bought it for the
yeah, it's like any other property that she brings in. The truth is, Rifki Vager is very bothered by this. If you want to take a look at the Gilyan Hashas over here, you can see why he's bothered. But let's assume, as Rashi explains, this is the practice of the Gemara, that Nichsei Malug would apply to things that are owned as Tzirut as well. So now, you will remember, and this is a really cute one, you will remember that we had a machlokas before about what is the din. This is really brilliant. Right? If you want to talk about how Rami Bar Chama was brilliant, I mean, this is, and Rava was making fun of him, Look at this. We had them at clauses before. What happens if you rent something, let's say A rents something from B, and now he lends it to C. Something happens to it that the lender is responsible for, but that a renter isn't responsible for. An accident happens. So now he does what? That was a machlokas, the Rabbanan and Rabbat Yossi before, right? Can we say that, as the Rabbanan say, well, listen, the borrower pays the renter, and the renter tells the owner, gee, I'm sorry, but it was an accident. Right? Rabbi Yossi says, no, come on, you can't make money off the other guy's thing. I mean, let the borrower pay directly back to the original lender. I mean, renter, right? Ah, this is Rabbi Bachman's question. Because the woman over here was a renter. If the husband is a borrower, so now the question is the relationship between the husband and the original renter? Because if we would all, we'll get to that, but first let's define, who's the relationship between? Is the relationship between the husband and the woman, or is the relationship between the husband and the original renter? That depends on the machlokas are up on him and Rav Yossi, right? Now,
according from the point of view of the rentor, is not the marriage. Is it the husband who takes the whole thing, or is the husband?
That's the machlokas. That's the machlokas. Because as a shoel, according to Rav Yossi, he should be responsible directly to the actual owner. Mm-hmm. Because the wife would be partner, but then she'd be making money off the loss of the owner. That doesn't make sense to Rav Yossi. But now, my question is, as Rami Bachman has said, she went ahead and she rented a part. She now goes ahead and she gets married. Now, according to the Rabbanan, who hold that a shoel anyway only has a relationship to the renter, not to the owner, I'm not asking you. Because that has nothing to do with it. The loti boy, look at the balai she'ela, the balini. Obviously, he borrowed it while employing his wife. So he's not responsible to her. But suppose the relationship is with the original owner. That's what I want to know. So Kiti Barlak, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yossi. According to Rabbi Yossi, you hold that in a case where you have a renter who then lends it to a borrower, according to him, Tachzir Parah LeBa'alim HaRishonim, the borrower has to return the parah or its money if an accident happens to the actual owner rather than the one who rented it. My, I want to know what was the status of the Baal. Was the Baal a Shoel? The moment he becomes a Shoel on Nixay Ishto, he now has a relationship directly with the original owner. And that original owner is not involved with him, and therefore he'd have to pay. Or, because this is not Imo, exactly. Or do we say that he's a Socher? If he's a Socher, then we don't have this kicking of the new relationship, you see. Because a Socher is not responsible for the original owner at all.
Because he's got the same
no, because Rav Yossi's only, yeah, I mean, it boils down to that. I mean, Rav Yossi's only point is you can't make money off of somebody else's animal. Over here, whoever it is would have the same responsibility anyway. So Rami Balkhana's got a pretty good question over there. Stop that. Stop. Rami Balkhana's got a very good question. Smart. So, my Rava says, Rava, Baal, the Baal is not a Shoel. The Baal is not a Socher. Again, we're losing focus here. A Baal is a buyer. I'll prove it to you. He's a Lokeach Havi. I'll prove it to you from the din of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina says, the Takana Usha, famous Takana Usha was what? That the Usha Hikino, Ha'isha Shemachra B'Nichsein Malog, the Chayei Ba'ala V'Meta. A woman sells something that she owns, and she really owns it, as Nichsein Malog. The husband had a right to use it. She went and sold it under his nose. Now, she goes ahead and dies. So the husband was supposed to inherit her. So he says, so she sold the animal out from under me, huh? So I don't inherit it. In Usha, they made a takana that he could take it away from the guy that bought it from her. Which means that he was viewed now as a buyer of her animal up front before she died. So Abba Motsi Miyad Lekuchot, and therefore she doesn't have Rishut because he's the first buyer. If he's the first buyer, forget about analyzing this in terms of She'ela or Sirut. And therefore Rami Bar Chama is passe now that we have the Takanat Usha. Yeah, because he had bought the rights really to the actual Yerusha. Rami Bar Koma. Another question that Rami Bar Koma asked was, Baal Benitzei Yishto Mi Ma'al. Now, our assumption here is that if a Baal inherits his wife, and his wife now inherits, let's say, from her father, she inherits some money, and among the monies that she inherits is money that had been made Kodesh. Now, nobody knew that it was Kodesh. And the din is that if you take money out of a Rishus of Hegdesh, even if you didn't know, or specifically if you didn't know, that's when we really, the main thing, you haven't kicked in, so you're a chayav on Me'ila. You have to pay an extra chomesh, you have to bring a korban, and so on. Now our question is, before anybody does anything, we assume, the very transference of ownership that takes place when the husband inherits his wife, that transference itself is removal of the money from the Rishus of Hegdish into the Rishus of the Baal. Who is the one that should be viewed as responsible for that change? Omar Rava, well, okay, I mean, who do you think should be Maul? Should the Baal be Maul? Limol Baal? Why would the Baal be even interested in being Kona? What are you saying? Well, look, he inherited her. So in doing that inheritance, he now has to bring a carbon. Well, whoever said I wanted that inheritance? It's obvious I don't want an inheritance that I'm not allowed to have, and it's going to make me a carbon. You can't force me to have something that I don't want, can you? I don't want it. And that's a standing order, so to speak, because it's an umdan, it's an assumption. So well, why should he be more? Kimo ihi. But should she then be the one who now inherited because the Baal doesn't want it? But she also doesn't want it. There's a Heter Nami Mechalot of the Likneh. She only wants it for Heter. She doesn't want Yisr. The wife. Huh? No. He's inheriting now through her. And it, when she gets things, the Baal is the final user, right? When she inherits, even when she's alive, the Baal gets to use it. So the Bezdin who made the Takana that the husband inherits, he said, they're the ones who should be more. What kind of crazy question is this? The Rabbana made a Takana what? That's a Jezui Surin. Obviously, when they made the Takana, Kiav, the Rabbana Takana, Vamu Baal, Lokeat Avi, when they said that the Baal becomes the buyer with only Lahetera, they never made a Takana Lisura. So what is this ridiculous question?
Well, Rava's really into Rami Bar Koma today.
Hello, now Rava says, Rava, the point over here is that the moment that the Baal actually uses the money, so then it becomes Me'ila, because he did an act of removing it from the place of Hegdishim. The simple fact of Yerusha doesn't make you chayv in Me'ila. Baal ma'al kishiyoti. When he spends the money on something, like any other person who has money of Hegdish in his Rishos, and now goes ahead and spends it on something by accident, at that moment he's moral.
And that wasn't clear initially? I mean, that's the owner.
No, if you had somehow changed the technical reshus of it, you would have been Mohan. That's what Rava was saying. Adam, nobody over here is changing anything. The Baal doesn't want it. She doesn't want it. The Bezdin never made it. So this is like any other case. And therefore, Rami Bar Koma's question is not a question at all.
What
are we going to do tomorrow? Tonight. Yes, let me call. What do you think of that?
After the ladies
being out.
Oh, that
much later? That much later.
What time is it?
Quarter to 8 this evening. The women's lady?
Women's lady tonight at
4:30
for Ramban.
Okay, quarter to 8 for Ramban for women. So, maybe even 9. Make it a 9. So there won't be any. Okay, 9 on it? Well, I mean, what else are you going to be doing tonight? Okay, so 9 o'clock is Hashem this evening, or tomorrow's Daf Yom.